He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Friday afternoon, Friday, September 26th. That's right, September 26th. Into the near and end of everything here on this wonderful September month. Boy, we are almost three-fourths of the way through this 2025. Can't believe it. It is the 3 o'clock hour. It is time for our show. Can't wait to bring it to you. 2 hours of show today here behind the bench on 1430 ESPN. Big shout-out. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Tony D show always from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays. The Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D. You can listen to it live and on demand on the 1430 app. We're on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website for his show, my show, Behind the Bench, or Paul Metter's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live Saturdays, 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports. Paul will be there tomorrow. Paul will be on the show today talking about high school sports, getting our preview of tonight's Friday Night Lights game between Clovis North and Frontier. Like I said, we're taking it to 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, I'll be zipping on over to La Monica to get you set for pregame at 7 p.m., 7:30 kickoff between the Broncos and the Titans tonight. Clovis North and Frontier out of Bakersfield. We have the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Weather Check, sitting at 86 degrees tonight. Very, very comfortable day of weather for some football tonight. Those who are out there going to watch some football games, that is going to be a fantastic opportunity for you, with 87 being the potential high tonight, 82 by even 7 p.m. So we'll be for many of the kickoffs, 91 tomorrow, and then zipping on down to the high 80, the mid 80s to even low or high 70s, excuse me, mid to low 80s and the high 70s. For next week. So it should be very comfortable, very comfy weather here over the next 7 to 10 days here in the Central Valley as we turn the calendar to October. Like I said, going to be a good show today. Can't wait to bring it to you. We've got 2 hours. We're going to be talking some football, getting you set for the weekend. We got our Bonatti Blitz coming up on the show here. We are going to talk maybe a little bit of golf too, if I can get to it. MLB as well. Final weekend of baseball before we get to the playoffs. Of course, ESPN Fresno, the home of your baseball playoffs here for the month of October. We'll do some predictions and get you set for the weekend. That's right. Get you set for the weekend here on 1430. Good to be joined by a couple of people in our booth over to my right, producing the show today. Jorge, producing the video portion, is Sergio. Jorge, first of all, good to have you on this Friday. How are we doing?
Good to be here. Yeah. I feel like I'm not doing anything because you got all the controls.
I know. It's been a little. It's a little strange. I feel like I'm running the show here over
here.
You know,
this happens at least once a month.
Well, for the people who may live kind of near our area, it sounded like we had a blackout of some sort last night, power wise.
The school over on the other side of the street, the school side, it was a blackout till like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So
it bumped us a little bit in terms of power
and like that. And whenever that happens, everything gets kind of...
Feels like maybe in the next break, Jorge, maybe we just transition you over here.
Yeah, something's got to happen.
I think we need you over here, Jorge, if that's okay. So we may do that and have Sergio just kind of run the video from behind there. Sergio, how are we doing on this Friday? Good to see you.
Doing good. Good to see you, too. Excited to be back in in the studio after missing last week.
Yeah, good to have you. Of course, you were a major wager, so we saw you earlier this week. Yeah, and for people who are over there, a wild and crazy Lions-Ravens game that we were all there for. And good to have you back for – should be a fun night of football. You're going to be helping Jorge on the broadcast for Clovis North and Frontier. I want to pat myself on the back just a little bit from last night's performance. Jorge, you and I think we both called a field goal game last night between Seattle and Arizona. And I just want to give us a special shout-out there, Jorge. Congrats on you on and congrats to me for calling it a field goal game.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
It was not close for a while.
I literally changed the channel because I was watching it, and it was 20-6
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes to go, I was like, this is going to go one way. I'm just going to go watch something else. But then that was around the time where I had to come over here and do stuff. So, I don't know. I was, like, impressed by the comeback of that the Arizona Cardinals were doing there.
Certainly an impressive comeback. But it came up just short. The Seahawks had enough to get it done in winning last night. So the Seahawks go to 3-1. Really, for the Niners, if you want to go to the Niners' grand scheme of things, it doesn't totally change the math. The Niners have beaten both of those teams. But I think you would have rather wanted to see Arizona win last night because it feels like Arizona is a little less capable of what they're doing in terms of play. And in terms of wanting a team to be down a little bit more because they're more capable, I think the Niners – were you rooting for anyone particular last night with Arizona and Seattle? Were you hoping Seattle drops a dumb one there and Arizona goes to 3-1?
I think we were going for Seattle because we have them at home next.
Mm.
And I think Arizona – we have to travel to Arizona.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it better that – Arizona loses.
That's true. Sergio, what did you think of last night's game? A little wild game. Did you get a chance to check it out last night between Seattle and Arizona?
Did not get a chance to watch it, but I thought it was a lot closer than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Seattle was going to run away with it, and they were for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, Arizona came back towards the end, but, you know, Jason Myers is a dog, and he's got ice in his veins, especially with those smelling salts right before he kicked
it. That was crazy. You had to, by the way, rules say he had to bring those himself. He could not ask a team member to bring it for him. So
yeah, there you go.
But it's going to be interesting to see how it shapes up after that. Hey, Arizona, man, that's tough.
You know what I did see? That graphic where they showed all the quarterbacks that Arizona could have gotten.
Oh, I didn't see that graphic.
It was the whole class. It was Baker Mayfield, Tom Darnold, Josh Allen.
Hold on. I know what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the Sam Darnold class. Kyler's drafted the year after. And Kirk Herbstreit made that mistake on air. I know what you're talking about, right?
Well, I thought he was before.
Kyler was 2019.
So he was in 18.
He was not 18. But I think they were showing that graphic because of Darnold. But then I think Kirk Herbstreit thought Kyler was in the same quarterback class as all those guys, as Allen and Jackson
and all those guys.
Was a year afterwards. No, yeah, Kyler was a year after, if I'm not mistaken, and Kirk Herbstreit made that mistake on air, and Al had to correct him in terms of it. Everybody was confused last night.
Makes sense.
What'd you think of the uniforms, the Arizona Cardinal uniforms, the Desert Storm / kind of whatever it was?
At first, I thought they were dirty. I really thought it was just dirty uniforms.
Yeah.
Like already had played. But then I looked and I was like, wait, no, that's a pattern. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like whatever.
They were growing on me, man. They were growing on me a little bit last night. I'm one to like chances being taken on uniforms. I'm not like the traditionalist on it. But to me, I think last night was a different vibe. I thought the field looked phenomenal. You see that logo, and then they did
I did like the Arizona sunrise.
Yeah, the sunrise with the flag, kind of how their flag looks.
Yeah,
in terms of it, Sergio, what did you think of the uniforms last night from Arizona?
I loved those uniforms.
Yes,
I feel like I'm in the majority, the minority of people who love those jerseys. But it reminds me of those Oregon splatter jerseys, because they have some too that they debuted a season or two ago. And I don't know, just it's a very clean look. I don't know how else to describe it. The helmet's paired really well with it too.
Very artistic. Very it had a little speckle to it. Like I said, it was kind of like someone threw paint at the jersey a little bit. I kind of liked it. Okay. Last night, by the way, other football was played. Just a little heads up. Just want to give a score update from high school football. San Joaquin Memorial beating Central, the new Central Grizzlies, 49-13 last night. So that was the lone game of the night last night. In terms they're not, of, go ahead.
They're not new.
They're old, but they're not.
They're the old Central West.
Whatever it is, it's not the team that is currently leading in the Central section right now.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine sits at the board of Central Unified.
I don't know how to go about talking about that school.
Explained it to me.
You can explain it 14 times to me. I still
wouldn't get it.
I still don't understand it. I feel like I need Paul Metters in here to help me understand how to navigate. Central West, is that what it is?
So they decided to make it one high school, because Central West had always been there.
Yes.
Central West has been there since like the 30s or maybe 100 years ago.
Okay.
So it's an old high school. So when they expanded Central Unified and they created the what is now Central East, they called it the Central East Campus.
Yeah.
Now, it had always been the Central East Campus, but since it was a bigger high school with more kids, they just called it Central.
Mm-hmm.
And the other campus was being called Central West.
Mm-hmm.
And since now they have the newer high school and they're splitting up kids, they had to give it a real name, because officially the real name is Central East.
This is what everybody was up in arms about.
It never had like a real, because it was part of the other campus, it never had like a real identity.
Uh-huh.
So when it came time to give it a new identity, instead of keep giving it the identity of Central, you know, just Central, because in reality, Central West is Central. That's why they had to give it that name.
Let me tell you, man, it is as confusing as it can be. I tried my best. I thought I was kind of indifferent on it, but I continue to just kind of have the issue of I just need to know what to call them. That's just kind of what I need to know.
Central East.
Central East.
That's all it is.
Well, that's the Bengals.
Bengals, yes.
The team that played last night's the Central West Grizzlies.
Yes.
Okay. There's no Central.
Central, well,
this,
Central
see,
West.
See, this
Central
is what West, happened.
Central West became Central.
This is what's happening, man.
So the Central Grizzlies are the Central Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Central East are the Bengals.
Okay.
I think that's what we're going
to. If you're confused as much as I am, then be sure to call in on the Laser Hotline, 559-320-1430. Well, we're off to a blazing start of the show, but anyways, the Grizzlies lost to the San Joaquin Memorial Panthers last night, 49-13. Some college football to last night, of course. Sorry to say, Jorge, your Army Black Knights falling to East Carolina last night. I don't know if you were watching any of that game last night.
Man, they did not do. Yeah,
28-6 in that game. Three games tonight: Florida State and Virginia. Florida State taking their unbeaten record out at Charlottesville tonight. Sneaky weird game potentially on the Friday night lights, on the Friday night college football scene. TCU is at Arizona State, and one that might matter towards us, Houston at Oregon State tonight, if you want to just go in perception and everything like that, with how Fresno State has played against its opponents. But that's a big one tonight if you want to pay attention to where everybody stands in terms of it. But Oregon State playing tonight as well, so those are your three football games. You want to guess how low tickets are at Oregon State's game tonight? The winless Oregon State Beavers?
How low?
Yeah, what's the cheapest ticket you can get?
I don't know, about $10.
$9.
Oh,
$9 tonight to go to a game at Research Stadium in Corvallis for those two teams. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow. Of course, no Fresno State this week, and this is kind of the time where I would talk about Fresno State, but there's not much in terms of that. But big games on the weekend as well when it comes to just kind of paying attention to the college landscape. Jorge, I'm sure you're locked in on USC at Illinois tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. That'll be on Fox.
Illinois is ranked, right?
They are ranked 23rd. They lost horribly to Indiana.
Yeah.
Horribly to Indiana.
I saw parts of that game, but Indiana is just way better.
Yeah. Ohio State's at Washington. Watch out for that one at Husky Stadium. Ohio State, number one, on the road in the West Coast. LSU's at Ole Miss. Did you see? I saw Savannah, our media contact for Fresno State. She's fantastic. She tweeted out a video of Lane Kiffin footage from Fresno State back when he was 1997 quarterback. Have you seen this footage, Jorge?
I don't think I did.
He's got like
I'm gonna look it up.
He's got like a goatee thing going, no beard, but he's got the parted haircut that everybody had in the 90s, and it's glorious to look at if you ever want to watch like Lane Kiffin stuff.
I told the story, right? The Lane Kiffin story.
Yeah, about
him becoming like taking his job away and then becoming an assistant coach in the same day.
Yep, because David Carr was showing up. Yeah. Indiana and Iowa this weekend. That should be good. Checking out some other games. Arizona's at Iowa State. That should be good. How about Oregon at Penn State? I think that's the big one. Alabama, Georgia. That's always a battle each time everybody faces. How about the latest game on a Saturday? 7:15. That's it. Just one game. BYU at Colorado. We're not going to get a Hawaii test. We're not going to get anything at 8 o'clock.
No Pac-12 after
early,
that.
Early bedtime for everybody.
No Pac-12 after that.
That's Colorado. That's it. That's the latest game on the schedule. You've got – here are your four latest games of the slate on Saturday. Kentucky at South Carolina at 4:45 Pacific. You got Marshall at Louisiana Lafayette at 5 p.m. Pacific. Louisiana Tech and UTEP at 6 p.m. Pacific. BYU at Colorado, 7:15 p.m. Pacific time. 8:15 Mountain time if you're going to go Colorado. No games on the West Coast. They're starting at 7 o'clock or later. They got San Jose State at Stanford at 4:30. I'm trying to look at your true West Coast games on the weekend. One with the Stanford game and two with the Washington game. That's it. The whole entire West Coast decided to take the week off. Terms of hosting a game. Interesting.
Nice.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's your table set for the weekend, but we need to do our Benatti Blitz here coming up next. So stay with us. We're going to be rapid fire picking the NFL slate for next week here, or this coming week. We already are one for one in our pick'em for Thursday night. So we'll see how perfect we can go moving forward. So stay with us. Behind the Bench, just getting started here on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday. Feeling Friday, great feeling here, and can't wait to keep it rolling here for another couple of hours. Like I said, going up to 5 o'clock. Reminder, Paul Meadows is coming in here at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Can't wait for that. We have to get to a Benatti Blitz. First of all, Benatti Blitz brought to you by your friends at Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, part of our Tailgate Ready contest. That's right, Tailgate Ready. What does that mean? That means we're going to get you ready for a tailgate just by entering at one of our participating stores. You just go visit the Northwest, Southeast, Downtown, Sanger, and Kerman locations. Enter into our contest. You have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the upcoming Fresno State home game and $100 to your tailgate. $100 could go a long way towards feeding the people that you're bringing to a Fresno State football game. Be tailgate ready with Grocery Outlet today. All right. Week 4. It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting week. Jorge, I have no control over what the song will be playing. Do you want to roll the song here real quick? If we have the stack up. There we go. Do you got the primetime music for us? I know... it's a little different. It's a little different with how we've changed things up. I got a blank screen in front of me, so trying to vamp here, and he's trying to get to it. Anyways, while I bide some time for Jorge here on the primetime music, a reminder, again, we're going to be airing some football this weekend. The 49ers are going to be airing on 1430. The Rams are going to air on 790. And we will not have the Raiders, just all due to the conflict of all three of those games happening at the same time. So if you're going to look for Raider football, sorry, it will not be on the air this week. Rams on 790, Niners on 1430. We'll have Sunday night football between the Cowboys and the Packers as well. You got the music? There it is. We'll go one at a time. Me, Jorge, Sergio, picking the games of week four. Should be a fun one. And we start in Ireland. Yes, the Irish people are taking their toll into watching some NFL football. Should be a lot of fun out there in Dublin, Ireland, Croke Park. Guess what? We started college football season there. Now we get the National Football League with Minnesota taking on Pittsburgh. The Minnesota Vikings, who throttled the Cincinnati Bengals on defense and made them question everything they love and hold dearly. The Pittsburgh Steelers was given that football game last week by the New England Patriots. I have no confidence that the Steeler team could move this football against this Viking defense. Give me Minnesota to win on the road. Your turn.
I agree with you. I think
slow at the draw there. How are you doing?
I'm just pushing a lot of buttons here.
Pushing a lot of
buttons. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Minnesota has a better team. It's just I think they handle the ball well. Do they have is their quarterback still?
It's still Wentz.
Wentz?
Yeah.
So Wentz?
Still Wentz.
Okay. I mean, I'm not super true about that, but I think they're still going to win that.
There you go. Sergio, what do you got?
Give me the Vikings. I think that, like you said, this defense is too good for the Steelers offense. Aaron Rodgers has been iffy outside of week one. DK Metcalf has been up and down. So I like the Vikings. I'm buying in on the Carson Wentz hype.
All right, next up, Washington at Atlanta. Atlanta, a 1.5 favorite at home, despite everything that they've shown in the last week against Carolina. But they are back at home. They're back in their friendly confines. They played very well when they faced the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Washington sounds like no Jaden Daniels again. Sounds like no Terry McLaurin, but they seem to run the ball all over the Raiders last week. We'll see if they can keep that success going on the road when they take on Atlanta. Could be a very low scoring, tight game in this one, but I just feel like the structure of Washington will withstand whatever Atlanta has been showing me, which has been very hit or miss. So give me the Washington Commanders on the road.
I agree with you. I think that Washington is better than Atlanta, but just by a little bit. I think Washington has also been going through some injuries that are not helping them out, but they are better than Atlanta, and I think they're going to win it, not by a lot.
Give me Washington. I think even though Commanders are missing their two best players on offense, they've still got good players. They've still got Debo. Mariota's a good backup. Falcons kind of have too many questions going on. We don't know how legit Michael Penix is. Kirk Cousins got some playing time last week, too. So I think there's too much going on that's uncertain for Atlanta. So give me the Commanders.
We're all in the Commanders. Next up, shouldn't take too much time. Buffalo at New Orleans in Buffalo. The Bills have been rolling ever since the start of the year. Don't see any reason this could get any different. Buffalo 15.5, and I would take it. Spencer Rattler looked very lost on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. I'd imagine we may take a look at Tyler Shook this week. Would be a tough task to get into with this Buffalo Bills team. Buffalo rolls in a big one.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Buffalo wins this. They're just a better team.
Bills by a million next.
By a million bet. Next up, Detroit hosting Cleveland. The Lions coming off the short week taking on the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns with a shocking win over the Green Bay Packers. Cleveland the resolve, the pass rush that gave the Packers fits certainly could keep them in games if they keep the things in front of them and forcing the turnovers. Detroit, though, I just don't think they can make the mistakes that the Packers have. And honestly, the run offense for Detroit seems a little bit better than what Green Bay can provide, and seems like they can bust through that pass rush. 10.5 feels right. It's not as big of a blowout disparity as people may think, but I think Detroit will win this football game just because I think they can run the ball better on Cleveland. So give me the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, after what the Detroit Lions did to the Ravens last week, I think this is definitely a win for the Lions. They're going to be at home too, so yeah.
Yeah, give me the Lions. I think even though the Browns shocked the Packers, I think the Lions offense is just miles better. They've got a lot more explosive weapons on that offense, so give me Detroit.
Next up, Carolina at New England. The Patriots hosting the Panthers in Gillette Stadium. Patriots 5.5-point favorite. The Patriots turned the ball over 5 times against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and yet I have faith that this team can move the football at a considerable pace. Carolina, it looks like a completely different team on the road. As much as I have a disdain for what the Patriots showed me this first 3 weeks, there is something here that the Patriots can provide, which is not losing their marbles against the Panthers defense that I don't think is as legit as people think. They had a really nice week against Atlanta, but Atlanta more seemed to be the benefactors of creating that kind of situation. So give me the Patriots to win at road. If they at home, if they do not, I'm losing my mind, and I will quit football this year.
I will actually take the Carolina Panthers.
Oh,
this
boy.
One. I think they're just showing a little bit more. And this is going to be a close game, right? Like I could already see it, especially down in New England. But I think Carolina just has a little bit more of a better, you know, offense. But yeah, I think that they're just going to edge them out.
What do you got, Sergio?
I've got Carolina, too. I think their offense has a little bit more pizzazz. I like their weapons a little bit more. You know, the defense on both sides is a little bit questionable. I do like Mike Vrabel as a coach, but I think the Panthers are going to come out of this one on top.
You guys are going for my soul here. That's going to hurt. Next up, L.A. Chargers at New York Giants in East Rutherford. Jackson Dart hoping to throw some darts all around the football field, taking on this Chargers defense that has absolutely played lights out the first 3 weeks of this football season. Justin Herbert, been clutch. Can't believe I'm saying that. The Chargers have been the sexy team through first 3 weeks of this football season. And you want to believe that things will not slow down, not diminish here, but an East Coast trip can always get a little tricky. This game going to be closer than you think, going to be interesting, but rookie quarterback feels like a little too much for me. Give me the Chargers to win close on the road.
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers too. I think they're just, you know, they just got a better coach. Also, I don't know if Jackson Dart.
It's a dart, yes.
It's the answer to the New York problems. I think they got all their problems that they should look into, but I feel like the LA Chargers are just a better team.
I think Brian Daboll should be fired just because of how he's throwing Jackson Dart into the fire against this Chargers defense. If he waited one more week to throw him out against the Saints, I'd be more for it, but I don't think switching quarterbacks now will save his job. I think Chargers are going to win this one, too.
Wow, we're on the Chargers. Next up, Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. I made this my favorite game of the week. I'm a little concerned about some injuries, though, for Tampa's side. Baker Mayfield dealing with a bicep issue. Mike Evans, it sounds like he has been hobbled a little bit in terms of it. But they sound like they could be getting Chris Godwin this week. So what will that look like moving forward? Philadelphia really had to pull out all the stops to come back and beat the Rams. They show that they can pass down the field now a little bit. Is that enough to beat Tampa? If we had healthy Tampa, I feel like I'd be picking the Bucs here. But I think the Eagles do have enough. That pass rush is concerning. Give me the Eagles to win. Not cover. They're a 3.5-point favorite on the road. I don't think they'll cover, but they'll beat the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I want to give it to Tampa Bay, but this Eagles team is such a force. I don't know. It's going to be a tough game. They're going to be in Tampa, so that gives me one, like, a little notch to Tampa. But you know what? I'll go with Tampa. Let's go with Tampa.
All right.
I'm also going to go with Tampa, especially if, you know, Baker plays and Chris Godwin plays and Tristan Wirfs is listed as questionable. If all those guys play, I can see the Bucs winning, so I'm going to take the Bucs against the
Eagles. See, if all those guys are playing, then I'd be picking the Bucs too. I just don't know. I have no idea. It's just so flip of a coin. Next up, our last 10 a.m. game of the week. Tennessee at Houston, the Texans 0-3, the Titans 0-3, a must win for both teams. Houston 7.5-point favorite. The Texans have really struggled to score points, especially keeping CJ Stroud upright and trying to win football games. Their defense is there. Their defense has been working in terms of what they've been doing on their side of the football field. The Titans look like the worst coach team in the National Football League. I have no faith that they can completely handle any sort of function on the football field. Just talk about an end of half field goal going awry. Give me the Texans. They're my guarantee win of the week as well. Give me the Texans to win over the Titans and get their first win of the year.
Texans at home. That's it.
That's all you got. All right. Yeah,
I'm going to take Houston. I hope CJ Stroud can lock in and his line can lock in because I need him to be good again. Football was better when CJ Stroud was good. So,
next up to the afternoon, the 1 o'clock games, and we start with the LA Rams taking on the Indianapolis Colts, the 3-0 Colts who have punted once this season. Jonathan Taylor, been a revelation for them. Can the Rams stop them on defense in terms of the rush defense? They did contain Barkley, I would say, for a good part of that Eagles game, but the offense for the Eagles found ways to attack this Rams defense in certain ways down the field. Can Indianapolis do that as well? On the flip side, can the pass rush of Los Angeles antagonize Indiana Jones and this team? The best pass rush in football is Denver, and Denver got no sacks on Indy a couple of weeks ago in their loss. So I worry about what can be effective for the Los Angeles Rams. And yet, I think the institution of Matthew Stafford and this team will go on to get a win against the Indianapolis Colts.
Two tough defenses that are, you know, going to do well against each other. But I feel like who's got the better offense here? Is it Indy? Is it LA? I'm going to go with LA on this one.
A few weeks ago, I said I did not buy into the Daniel Jones hype train, but this week I will be buying into the Daniel Jones hype train. I've got Indianapolis taking down the Rams. It'll be a close game. It'll be really fun to watch, but I think that Indy has all the momentum and everything going for them right now, and it's going to be too much for LA.
Wow. Next up, I never thought we would hear Indy over LA. Next up, Jacksonville at San Francisco. Brock Purdy, just breaking news, by the way, brought to you by Valley Pure. Brock Purdy starting over this game against Jacksonville. Brock Purdy will be back in the quarterback position. Will he have his weapons with him, though? Juwan Jennings questionable. Ricky Pearsall questionable. That can be concerning if you're the San Francisco 49ers. Will it be a big McCaffrey day? This Jacksonville team seems to be very opportunistic in terms of turnovers. The best turnover rate in football right now when it comes to the defensive side. Niners got to be careful. Niners got to be extremely careful with the football in this game, or it could turn on a dime. But something tells me Jacksonville's offense will struggle to move the football on Sunday. I'm going to pick the San Francisco 49ers in a close one, winning at Levi's.
San Francisco 49ers winning. That's me.
Of course you're you excited about Purdy back?
Yeah, we got Purdy back. I think we should be fine.
Yeah, I've got San Francisco as well. I think that the Jags offense has been very boom or bust. Last week it didn't look great. Brian Thomas he's getting targets, but he hasn't been hauling anything in. So I think with Purdy back, and even though Nick Bosa is out for the season, I think Niners are going to come through and, you know, get this one out.
Next up, Baltimore at Kansas City. Big time matchup on the late side of things as well. Kansas City, of course, has been really struggling to score, but guess who is back? Xavier Worthy is back at it in the wide receiver position. He's looking to make a mark for this Kansas City Chiefs team. Will that be the spark that gets them back into a scoring type of offense that can make things happen? Baltimore seems to struggle against good offenses and offenses that have key time players, speed kind of guys. And I worry about Baltimore's sense and ability and sense of urgency to start the year. But something tells me that they're going to figure it out and outscore the Kansas City Chiefs in the road in Arrowhead. I'm taking a risk here because I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, two teams that are, you know, 1-2. This is a battle for who's going to be left out of the playoffs, I think.
That's a crazy statement.
I mean, 1-3?
Teams have come back from 1-3 before.
True.
But it's interesting.
But, yeah, I feel like Kansas City at home might have the edge, but Baltimore just does not want to lose this game. They do not want to lose this game. So I'm going Baltimore.
All right.
I think that Xavier Worthy is going to make a huge difference on offense for the Chiefs. Every single time I watch a game with a team who's getting one player back, I'm like, there's no way it can make that much of a difference, but it makes that much of a difference. That being said, I think the Ravens offense is still great. They are missing their defensive coordinator a lot, but I still think the Ravens are going to pull this one out somehow, some way.
All right. Two games left. Next up, Chicago at Las Vegas, the Raiders and the Bears. I have no feel for this football game. It is Jekyll and Hyde versus Jekyll and Hyde from what we've seen this year. The Raiders offense has struggled in some situations to very much can't even run the ball against very many good teams. And Chicago seems like a team that's susceptible to the run. But I want to see the Raiders be able to take advantage of it. And then on the flip side, Chicago's offense seems to struggle in some situations and yet found a way against Dallas and looked like world beaters last week. I think the Bears have a slight edge in this one if I'm going to go gun to my head, which I do right now in this segment. So give me the Bears to win on the road. I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears too. Just slightly. yeah, I don't. It's a little bit difficult to know about these games because I feel like they're both bad teams. But I think the less bad of a team is definitely the Bears.
What do you got, Sergio?
I love seeing Caleb Williams and Romo Odunze do their thing. It's so fun to watch. I think this Raiders team has been too inconsistent to beat a team as also inconsistent as Chicago. But I think Chicago's offense is finally starting to find some rhythm, and I think they're going to come out on top on this one.
And finally, the Sunday night football game, the Packers and the Cowboys in Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, of course, without CeeDee Lamb in this football game. The Packers wounded after coming out of Cleveland with a very strange victory, or strange loss to the Cleveland Browns and giving away a victory. Both teams needing a win in this one, I would say, more on the Dallas side than the Green Bay side. But Micah Parsons, he's returning home. He says it'll hurt when he sacks Dak Prescott. And he's going to need to have a lot of things to quell that pain because he'll be sacking him a lot in this football game. Packers big in Dallas on Sunday night. Give me Green Bay.
Yeah, it's going to hurt when he sacks Prescott. Like, for Dak Prescott's going to hurt. yeah, I think Green Bay definitely has a little bit of an edge on the Cowboys, although they are playing at Jerry's World, so that's my counter. But I think Green Bay is gonna take it.
Yeah, I've also got the Packers prediction. Micah Parsons will get 2 sacks.
All right, and that is your Benatti Blitz as we wrap up for Week 4. We'll pick the Monday night games on Monday night. 2 games on Monday night: Jets and Dolphins, Bengals and Broncos. Once again, that's your Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Once again, get tailgate ready with the Grocery Outlet today. Stop by your local Grocery Outlet in Northwest Fresno, Downtown, Southeast Fresno, Kerman, and Sanger. Enter into the tailgate ready contest. 2 tickets on the line and $100 to your tailgate for the upcoming Fresno State game. We're going to draw a winner next week, so just get your entries in now. All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap up hour number one here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this first hour of 2 hours of our show today. Of course, we got a lot of things going on this weekend, and I'll give it to you right now. Of course, coming up tonight, the Friday Night Lights, Clovis North versus Frontier, 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff between those two teams. One of the big games of the week in terms of the Central section. Tomorrow we'll have Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters live from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. Following him at around 12:30, we'll have Giants and Rockies. Giants baseball one last time here on 1430. Giants-Rockies, 12:35 pre with a 1:05 first pitch from San Francisco. A's and Royals over on 790, 6:30 pregame with a 7:05 first pitch from that. Sunday, we will have we'll have football with the Niners and the Jaguars. And yours truly is going to that game. So I will have a report on Monday from the Jaguars game and give you an idea of what I saw specifically from the football game and potential sound from the game as well. We'll do a little Phil recap of that game. Boots on the ground. So pregame starting at noon on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff for the Niners over on 790. Rams and Colts is going to be over there as well. Packers and Cowboys on 1430. Monday we'll have Sports on Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5, including Monday night, major wager, Bengals at Broncos, Monday night football. And Tuesday, stay tuned, potential wild card baseball could really jettison the shows Tuesday and Wednesday. So keep in mind on the schedule there. But as of now, we have a 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. behind the bench. But I will say I'll give that a 5% chance of happening. I'm just going to give it a 5% chance of happening on Tuesday. We didn't mention it today. A little Ryder Cup update for the folks out there. Team USA down 5.5 to 2.5 to the European team. Kind of a lackluster performance from the U.S. side. Some LVPs for me. Scottie Scheffler was pretty rough today. He went 0-for-2 in his two battles today. I don't want to knock Bryson. Bryson wasn't as sharp of Bryson DeChambeau today in terms of it as well. He had the awesome putt to open in hole one, if you saw it, at 4:30 in the morning to this morning when Bryson opened the Ryder Cup with a birdie putt. But from there, it was kind of just a middling day for Bryson's day, 36 holes, and he ended up losing both of his matches. Big bounce back from Justin Thomas today in terms of it. He had a rough one to start, but then he turned it around and won. He was 5 up with 6 to go, I think it was, or no, 6 up with 5 to go, which was pretty insane, say of it as well. Good gutsy play from Patrick Cantlay today as well, and he was able to pull a draw with Rory McIlroy and Shea Lowry at the end there with Sam Burns as well. So USA's got a lot of giddy up to go, though. This is tough. This is a home match, and you go down 3 points after one day. That's going to be really tough to go for it as far as that's concerned. So we will see how it goes. But overall, the patriotism out there for a lot of people. We saw politicians. Even the president was there. We saw all kinds of different things going on. The chants were going for everybody. A lot of jeering out there. Jorge, it kind of reminds me of I'm curious if this is kind of the precursor to what we will see with the World Cup next year with the patriotism in the USA. It's a big-time USA event. I know you were even peeking your eye over there a little bit sometimes during the golf today.
Well, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're paying attention.
Of course.
You're not a golf guy, man. But
no, I'm a fan.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. I'm a 100% USA. Yeah.
No, I'm not questioning your patriotism. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying you were watching it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. What did you think of the day's
age? I'm interested in it.
You were hearing a lot of noises from me and from Nico Pacheco over there.
Yeah, I saw that one. The one ball that went around and came out. Yeah. Never went in.
Rory had a couple of horrible like breaks in the putts as far as that's concerned. But I don't know. It should be interesting to watch for the rest of the weekend. But, man, if the United States does not win this, it'll be absolutely catastrophe in the face of golf if the United States cannot win this one.
I mean, you still got, you know, really good European players. They're not, you know, they're not any players.
But the whole point is to win at home. That's the whole thing, right? It's like when you're home and when you're there and when you're on the course that you grew up in. Cam Young, by the way, was an awesome player today as well. I want to give a special shout. Cam Young, who was a rookie today, making things happen. So
yeah, I mean, it's you know, probably something you dream of, winning at home, but it's not always something that happens.
I'm just dying to see more big moments with Bryson this weekend. He didn't have too many huge ones in terms of like the Bryson bump and him getting crazy and him riling up the crowd, putting his hand behind his ear, trying to get him to, hey, I can't hear you kind of guys as far as that's concerned. Very like wrestling moves and maneuvers. I want more of that from Bryson tomorrow. I want more of that from him on Sunday.
There's still time.
Sunday.
There's still time.
A lot of time, and yet there's not a lot of time.
2 days?
It's crazy. It's crazy to say. So we'll be keeping an eye on it, and I will. You'll know my feeling after Monday about how our golf season gone with the Ryder Cup. So you'll know exactly how I feel when I strut in at around 10 a.m. on Monday into this office, Jorge, and then at around 3 p.m. when I strut into this studio.
You compared it to soccer, and I remind you that during the Brazil World Cup, Brazil lost 7-0 to Germany.
And Brazil, it was a national tragedy.
They
described it as a national tragedy.
Yes.
All right. End of hour one. Hour two coming up. Paul Metters will join us next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Friday. One more hour of the show before we say goodbye for the weekend. Although you want to hang around and stay till 7 o'clock and listen to Friday Night Lights here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Clovis North in Frontier out of Bakersfield. Big, big playoff implications, big matchup for this one as we near league play for a lot of teams here in the Central section. And good to be here and good to be joined by my partner in crime who's going to be on the broadcast tonight. And I think we're going to have him around for the whole hour here for this time around. So, Paul, stay a while. Feel comfortable at home for this next hour here.
Well, this is kind of is my second home right here. First string sports, right? Hanging out with you. What did we joke about last week? You and I drove to Visalia for that Redwood and Hanford game. You asked me, Paul, have you spent more time in the last 48 hours with me or your wife? And I said, with you, Phil. And like a couple of days later is our 25th anniversary. So so it's right. I just find myself around Bullard High School on Palm Avenue and drive up here and hang out with you and talk a little bit about football and maybe baseball too, right?
Yeah, we'll get into a lot of different topics here in the show. But wanted to say, obviously, it's going to be a much, much less drive, less stressful drive over to La Monica tonight. First of all, it's strange in my mind. I know it's happened from time to time, but Clovis North at a La Monica game is very strange to me. I'm trying to break through my brain of it because usually I go West Buchanan and North are always at the Veterans Stadium, but Buchanan's home tonight, and usually it's the East and the Clovises that are over at La Monica. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around a North home game at La Monica
tonight. Yeah, it's right, especially the home game for Clovis North. But starting at 7:30 kickoff. But I'm used to, right, if we're going to La Monica and I'm seeing Clovis North, it's a home game for, you know, Clovis East or Clovis High. But, it's going to feel a little strange. And I thank you for reminding me because I probably would have headed out to veterans. I'm like, oh, wait, no, Buchanan's playing there. So yeah. I think I've done that once before where I went to the wrong stadium. And I'm like, the color's a little bit different out there.
Yeah, just taking
let
a
me
peek.
Turn around and yeah. go to the other stadium. But, yeah, excited about tonight's game.
Certainly. Very excited about tonight's game. And we'll dive into it and dive into what looks like what should be a really interesting Friday night for everybody. We did have one game in the Central section last night. San Joaquin Memorial gets a 49-13 win over, I still don't know what to call them, Central West is what I've been told, or Central proper against the Grizzlies, the old Grizzlies, but the new Grizzlies, but whatever it is, I might be starting to turn into those grouchy old people that were arguing about the whole Central situation.
Well, there's a lot of grouchy people on the Central East campus. And yeah. right. And I heard you driving here, you know, just trying to break it down, you know, and Jorge did a really good job actually, but I asked Kyle Biggs, the head football coach.
Yeah.
You know, the one with the state championship and the four Central section championships in football. I asked him again on Saturday, how's the rebranding been? How is the transitioning to the Bengals been? And he said, you know, still it's not great. And he actually said, I don't think I'm going to ever shake it because they kind of lost their identity.
Mm.
Right? Central East Bengals.
Yeah.
You know, when they played Grant High in week two, there were people up there in the Sacramento area that put out on Twitter, like, who is this team? Like, I don't get it. I'm looking at their max preps and this doesn't stuff isn't adding up. So,
right.
Yeah, I kind of explained to them the transition that they made. So, you know, Central West retained the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. They separated from the dual campus, I guess you can say. And, you know, it hasn't been really easy. Right. I mean, yeah. Biggs loves the uniforms. I think he mentioned, yeah, we're excited for getting those Nike uniforms next year for the Bengals.
Yeah.
But, right, it's tough, right?
Everybody's having a hard time.
They are. You're obviously not erasing history. Yeah. But you're just kind of like, you're losing part of your
identity.
You feel
like a nomad a little bit in terms of it. Just like, well, where's our identity? What is it? And reestablishing what you had under what you did last year. I didn't think much of it in terms of the effects of it, but it really can legitimately. You need motivators, and sometimes that can distract more than it can do a benefit for you as well. But obviously, they needed to figure something out there, and that's certainly what it was in their decision. But Central losing to San Joaquin Memorial 49-13. There. So San Joaquin Memorial moves to 3-2 on the year before they get into CMAC play, which should be an interesting league this year. CMAC with Bedera, Bullard, Sanger, Garza out there in terms of it. Let's talk about tonight's game. And I argue this is as consequential of a game to understand where everybody sits as many other games out there. Of all of the non-league games we've had this season, this one can tell us a whole lot of where things sit in terms of that top division, 1AA playoff bracket. Do you feel the weight of this game in terms of what it can determine?
I do. And when I looked at the schedule and, you know, I kind of figure out, well, this looks like a good game to broadcast. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's only 41 games tonight in the Central section. So very light schedule. A lot of teams are on bye weeks. And, like, hey, there's a Frontier and Clovis North game that jumps out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, week one goes by. Clovis North handles San Joaquin Memorial pretty easily. Frontier only scores 7 points, right? You hear a lot about Frontier this year. A lot of transfers. Their offensive line is really big. They only score 7 points, and they lose that football game. Clovis North beats Redwood in 38-34. Frontier loses in week two, only scores 7 points again. Clovis North gets the bye, and then what happens, right? All of a sudden, Frontier's back on the radar. They beat Clovis High at home by a single point, and then they lose again last week. So they're 1-3 coming in the season. Clovis North, right, beat CVC after that bye week, beat San Ramon Valley. It was a 14-14 game, or pretty close at halftime. Clovis North pulls out a 31-14 win. And all of a sudden, here we are. We're like, okay, this game, you know, Frontier's not 3-1 like we thought they might be. Thought maybe Clovis North would be 3-1, maybe even 2-2. Didn't really expect them to be 4-0. And here we are. This game's going to tell us a lot about both teams. Can Clovis North get the momentum heading into track? Playoff implications are big. And Frontier, they've actually played, Phil, the 17th toughest schedule in the state of California, the toughest schedule in the Central Section. So if you go with the whole battle-tested thing, they are battle-tested, and they played some really tough teams. So this game's going to tell us a lot.
Well, in terms of the implications, and let's just go through it, right? Frontier has a head-to-head over Clovis. And if we want to go seeding game here in terms of that, and let's say Frontier beats Clovis North, but then like Clovis North beats Clovis, or like Clovis beats Clovis North, or how about I'm trying to think. Let me reset again. Like Clovis North beats Frontier, but then Clovis beats Clovis North, and Frontier beats Clovis, and then we get that whole thing. Like, how does that get resolved in a playoff situation?
Well, it depends on where that final highschoolratings.com rankings are, right? If they're, I think it's within two places, then that head-to-head tiebreaker comes into effect. Because, right, what if a team loses one game, they're 9-1, but the one loss was to a team that's 5-5, right? Yeah. We've seen stuff like that happen. Mm-hmm. I don't see that scenario happening here, but I mean, where would you seat them? You're not going to jump that 5-5.
It was
five
almost Liberty and Central East last week. if Liberty had pulled that off, it was almost that.
That would have really screwed a lot of things up. But, right, it's within a couple ratings points. Yeah. So, I mean, that scenario could pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, right? You know, that Clovis loss to Frontier could loom large for the Cougars as well.
But have we had scenarios like this before, Paul? Have you seen this in the Central Section before, where we've had potential kind of teams circling around each other, different results really contradicting each other in the rankings, and then it causes this whole storm, you know, of who deserves where and who gets a home game and all this kind of stuff? We could be down that road this year.
And, right, you know, last year I had a somewhat of a prediction show because the brackets came out a few hours later. And, right, and you get some things right, and then the brackets come out, you're like, wait a second, that school jumped up that much. And you just forget about a few things. That's what the advisory committee is for. That's what the committee sits down and they really hash things out. I think once they had to change a home game for school. They missed something once, but they self-corrected and they got the information out to both teams. But yeah, that's why they sit down and hash out every scenario and you know, figure out it based on the high school ratings.
So speaking of the game tonight, like we said, Clovis North itself, a changed team from last year. No more McKay Madsen. You know, they do have some guys that have returned, but mostly it is a different kind of team. Your intel and what you've heard about Clovis North, is this a team that's for real in the track? If you want to think about the rest of the way the track is shaping up, is this a team that is potentially making noise in the track this year?
I think so. And look how many points they've scored: 42, 38, 53, and 43. Again, strength of schedule isn't super, right? Isn't super strong compared to the other teams in the track. But once you get in a track, you know, that'll all even out. But it's a different style of offense. Colby Hunter is the head coach. He's taken over as director of sport. We saw their offense the last couple of years, Phil, with Clovis East and what he did with that offense. It's a spread out offense. And believe it or not, the run game and the passing game is pretty darn equal. You think spread offense, you think, oh, it's, you know, it's 75% passing, but that's certainly not the case for Clovis North this year. So we're going to see a different type of offense that we've seen from Clovis North the last 4 or 5 years under Mike Jaycott, primarily running team, a lot of tight formations. We're going to see a lot of spread. They got a really, really good running back that I am excited to watch today. J.R. Cruz.
Yeah, J.R. Cruz.
Only a sophomore. 623 yards on the season so far. That yards per carry is sitting at 10.4. Has 7 touchdowns on the season.
It's pretty good clip.
Pretty good clip. And their quarterback, he kind of rotated quarterbacks the last year. Lucas Smith has settled in. He's you know, throwing the football, has 789 passing yards on the year. So, you know, last couple of years, I should say, Clovis North has not thrown the ball very often, sometimes 8, 9, 12 times a game.
Yeah.
But this year's offense looks a lot different.
Clovis North versus Frontier, of course, the game we have tonight. I would argue one of three absolutely fantastic games on the slate tonight. There's three big time ones you want to be at. And the next one I want to bring up is the one happening in Tulare tonight. Bakersfield Christian 4-0. Tulare Union 4-0. I mean, this is as good of football you can get. And this will tell you a lot in terms of seeding for the playoffs, Paul. I got to imagine this one goes a very long ways for both of these teams.
I anticipate both teams being in D2. Bakersfield Christian, they're the defending champs. If both of these teams make a Central Section championship game, I would not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we could get a little preview with this game. The game is in Tulare, a tough place to play football. That turf is unlike anything that I have seen at the high school level. It's different. There's like a layer of cement underneath. Bakersfield Christian's got a very solid team. Darren Carr is doing a good job. We know the prolific offense of Tulare, Jordan Crisp, and the wide receivers. Very, very talented. You know, it's kind of the same old story when you're taking on a talented, offensive attack like Tulare Union. If you're the tribe, you got to get your guys in space. Hope they can make plays. If you're Bakersfield Christian, you got to tackle in space, right? And that's going to be the case for Coach Carr's group, but that's going to be a whopper of a football game. We're definitely going to keep our eyes on that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, if you look at the resumes of both of these teams and the way they've gone about it, I would argue, I think Tulare Union has had a slightly better resume than Bakersfield Christian has. Nothing to Bakersfield Christian. They beat a very good Faith Lutheran team at the beginning of the year. And I'm not saying Tehachapi or CVC or Stockdale were at their level, but they handled business handedly well. But this is the first time it feels like Bakersfield Christian is going to face a tight football game since that week one win over Faith Lutheran. Do you feel like there's a little bit of – I mean, we're on September 26th tonight, and the last time they were challenged was August 22nd, Paul. Is there anything to that as opposed to maybe what Tulare Union's faced where they had to battle a Redwood team half the time ago than that one?
Yeah, and, you know, CVC, I'm interested in that football game tonight because we keep hearing about some transfers are going to be eligible. Tonight could be the night, right? We've got a couple eyes at that game, so we'll find out. But yeah, they haven't been tested in a month, right? So they're going to be tested really, really quick against that Tulare team that has a lot of athletes. Like I said, they're going to have to tackle in space. They're going to not have to turn the ball over. But Tulare, I got to be honest, Tulare seems like one of those teams. I know you had Jordan Crisp, right, on mm-hmm. the show and coach, and they seem to be playing with the chip on their shoulder, almost a team of destiny. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
They won't say it, but they felt robbed last year.
Yeah.
In terms of how things turned out in the playoffs.
And they were.
them and Hanford probably felt as robbed as anybody of what could be from their season. Yeah. So, the other fantastic game, and I'm sure you've been maybe taking a look at it, St. Joseph at Shafter tonight. And Shafter's been up and coming. They got a really good resume. We know what St. Joe's has. They lost to Tulare Union earlier in the year. But Shafter's been I don't know if it's been a quiet 4-0, but it's been a very solid 4-0 for them. Just winning by double digits every single time they've come out, beating a really good Arvin team that was in the playoffs last year. They beat Dos Palos, and now they got a real test against St. Joe's tonight. How about that game down in Shafter?
It's in Shafter, and Edison or Fresno, right?
And Edison or Fresno,
Yeah, they're able to handle them. That's going to be a good game, Phil. Shafter, right? They got two seniors that were on varsity as freshmen and impact players as freshmen. They won a Central Section championship in that instant classic at Carruthers, upset Carruthers. Marianne Sloan is a star running back headed to Boise State. He is fully healthy. So didn't play the first couple weeks, coming back slowly. You know, Coach Perucci is a really good coach down there in Shafter. So just kind of slowly, right, make sure his main stud, his workhorse, is healthy. I think he, caught 200? I don't know. Some crazy stat. So, I don't know. Rushed for 200 yards and had 100 yards receiving. Something wild in that Edison game. Their quarterback, Ezekiel Osborne, has now 101 touchdown passes in his career. It's a Kern County record. So, that's going to be a really good football game. Shafter, again, like a Division IV team, St. Joseph based D1. So that's that would be a huge win for the Generals.
Yeah, it would be massive. And that one kicking off, I think, right around the same time as we are, 7:30. So we may or may not get a final. We'll see. We'll see as we go along.
We're at the mercy of the Max Preps people.
And we learned
people
last week. And we learned last week firsthand, Paul, the Max Prep app was not providing maybe the most accurate statistical outputs that we've seen.
Well, we were literally broadcasting the Hanford and Redwood score, and Max Preps had it wrong. It had Hanford leading the whole game. What, like 44-37?
It was a boat race according to Hanford, according to Max Preps.
We're like, we're literally here. It is 28-15.
Not correct. Not correct. You mentioned CVC tonight. They need a first win of the year. They face Mission College Prep. You mentioned their game. What stands out about that one you mentioned?
Yeah, you know, Mission Prep, not as good as last year. They've had a couple of really good seasons. CVC, Coach Arax, they're 0-4. You know, they always seem to get better as the season goes along. That's kind of a staple of Coach Arax. I know Coach Dave Wilson of Kingsburg High is going to check out that game. He's coming on the show tomorrow. After that huge win against Sanger, that one was right on Max Preps all last Friday. So yeah, there, you know, there's going to be some eyeballs on that game. Yeah, we'll see. You know, CVC, they've been in what, six or seven straight Central Section Finals between D2 and D3.
Yeah.
So a lot to say about that program.
Buchanan tonight, like we said, it's over at Veterans. They host, to my understanding, I cannot find it for right now, but I think it's Paso Robles. Yeah. There it is, Paso Robles tonight. Paso 2-3, Buchanan 4-0, really 3-1. They had the forfeit win from Bakersfield side. So, but Buchanan keeps just chugging along, and a win tonight certainly could just kind of keep the momentum going for them into track. We don't know what they're going to look like in track play, but props to Buchanan for keeping on with the wins here.
Well, I mean, throw out that Bakersfield game, right? Where they lost on the field, but are winning on paper. Yeah, I think, you know, they're going to handle Paso Robles by about two or three touchdowns. There is a comparative score. Kingsburg beat them in week one, 21-7, beat Paso, right? Kingsburg beat Sanger. Kingsburg was playing with Clovis East in the first half of their game in Kingsburg. They were actually up 10-6. So, but right, I you know, Buchanan's playing some pretty good football. So I think they're going to win by a couple touchdowns.
How about this one down in Bakersfield? From what you've been hearing from your people down there, Liberty 0-5 at 4-1. Independence. Independence has had some decent wins this season. Is Liberty going to start 0-6?
Is that tonight?
That's tonight. I got it. Liberty.
You got it tonight. Okay.
I got Liberty at Independence at 7:30 tonight.
Oh gosh, Coach Gola is a coach at Independence, and they lost last week, right? I can't remember.
Yeah, they lost to Kennedy. 21-6.
21-6. Yeah, so a little surprised by that one. I think that says a lot about Kennedy, but right, I've heard that Liberty changed their offensive coordinators, and that was the reason they were able to put up 33 points against Central East last week, put a scare into the Bengals. So, who knows? Maybe Liberty's found some momentum. I don't know how you want to phrase it, but yeah, I think that's going to be a tight one. But I can't imagine Liberty going 0-6.
Yeah. How about Washington Union at Kalinga? 3-1 versus 3-1. Union's had a decent couple of wins, but it's tough to go up there and take on the Horned Toads. Horned Toads, a state champion appearance last year.
Yep.
How about that one? That should be an interesting one down there.
Well, we were hyping up Washington Union last week, and then there goes the hot Dinuba Emperors, and they put up 42 against the Panthers and beat them. I don't really know what to make of that game. You know, Kalinga had a lot of success the last couple of years. I know they graduated a lot of seniors as well. But that's one of those towns that the entire town shuts down for Friday Night Lights. They go check out the game and go eat afterwards and all that good stuff that makes small town football really good, really fun. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a really good feel about that one.
I got a good feel about Arosi versus Lindsay because we had Arosi on.
And why,
year.
Phil?
Because we had our student athlete of the week last week from Arosi, Jason De La Cruz, who, by the way, is up to 800-plus rushing yards through his first four games this year. for Rossi. Rossi 3-1. They beat the Reedley Pirates, by the way. They gave me the strategy with how they shut down Will Bacon yesterday on my
Spy? They have two guys on the edge?
They had a double spy. They had a middle linebacker spy and a safety spy up at the top. So double spy on Will Bacon, and they shut him down to 6 points in their game over Reedley.
Yeah. But you were impressed with the Rossi kid, right? He was really good on air.
800 yards. He's fantastic. Yeah. He's got a great story, too. He broke his leg in an Interscott scrimmage last year. Broke his leg. And tibia fibia. Gone for the year. Totally lost his whole entire season. Worked camera last year. And actually, that top-down perspective, he started seeing some lanes, Paul. And it might have helped his vision and visualizing what he needed to do to run.
That's cool.
For this year.
That's
so,
a good story.
That's interesting if you get a chance to listen to that as well. I want to shout out just a few more games if you got some tidbits on them. Emmanuel 4-0, they got El Capitan tonight. El Capitan 3-1. McLean's at Fresno High tonight. McLean's 4-0. They're rolling along.
They're going to score 60 again tonight.
How about Roosevelt at Torres tonight? 4-0. Roosevelt's been kind of sneaking up on some people, I think.
Yeah, Torres is down. Roosevelt, I think they're going to be a contender. Coach McCoy's doing a great job. Try to get him on the show this Saturday. He's got some stuff going on. So, yeah, I'm really excited. He's booked for next Saturday, so we're going to get to talk with him. But he's got a really good quarterback. He's got a good receiver. And, you know, McCoy's a graduate of Roosevelt High, ended up playing for Fresno State. So he's a Valley guy through and through.
And Golden West back at it tonight after a bye. They got Tehachapi tonight as well, 4-0 Golden West.
That could be a sneaky good game, right? Coach Anderson and Coach Machado, who runs the offense. Coach Anderson is a disciple of Coach Arax. So there's a lot of discipline and weight room stuff that goes on with that program. So that's a really, really good Golden West team.
3-1 Tulare Western at 4-0 Wasco tonight as well. And I think I had one more on the docket here for you all. Oh, yeah. Jorge's Tranquility Tigers taking on Parlier tonight at Tranquility.
The Panthers
of Parlier against Jorge, you got any comments? Tranquility got 1-3 record night near. Is Parlier a big rival for you guys?
Not a big rival, but when I was in school, that was my last game.
That was your last game against Parlier?
Yeah, because we made the playoffs, and we played them in the playoffs, and they beat us.
Oh, man. Was it close?
Yeah, actually, yeah, because the coach at halftime. Parlier was a big – they thought they were going to just roll over us, and the coach at halftime came up to our coach and said, "Oh, you guys are giving us a scare." Which my coach did not take well.
No, I bet not.
Did not take well.
I bet not at all.
All right, we'll see. I mean, we ended up, losing that game. But at the end of the day,
hey,
we gave him a scare.
You gave him hell.
But you're like, we didn't come here to, just for an exhibition game.
Yeah, it's playoffs.
We came here to win the game.
Come on. So, all right. Well, good luck to Tranquility tonight. And see if you can avenge the loss for Jorge's high school glory. Back in the day. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Paul's sticking around. We're going to talk some hot topics in MLB baseball. What a crazy weekend we still have in front of you for the playoffs. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Continuing this second and final hour of the show before we head over to La Monica for the start of our game starting at 7 o'clock. Clovis North, Frontier. You know it. You've heard it. I've been saying it all show. So continuing on with the discussion here, and I wanted to bring up some baseball topics here on the show because we've been paying attention to the playoff races here for the past week here. And so I want to do a little score check right now, a little score check to see if we have some games that are affecting things right now in terms of it. Games that are important according to the scheme of everything. Orioles and Yankees right now, Yankees up 2-0 in the middle of the second inning. Blue Jays down 2-1 to the Rays in the middle of the second inning as well. Guardians down 4-0 to Texas in the bottom of the first right now. unless the Guardians just scored. We got a 4-2 score now. I think we're just getting an update from Paul over there. Mets 2-0 at the end of one. Tigers and Red Sox scoreless right now in the top of the second inning. Games that still have some playoff implications. Reds and Brewers starting in about 30 minutes or so. Angels and Astros are at about an hour, 2 hours from now. Dodgers, Mariners, some seeding stuff there, but nothing totally crazy going on up in Seattle. And then the Diamondbacks and the Padres, as far as that's concerned, Diamondbacks on a last limb there for the wild card. And so those are all your relevant baseball scores tonight in terms of it. Paul, this week has been fascinating to follow in terms of being a baseball fan. I know football dominates the narrative, but I want the Red Sox, first of all, finish the job because I'm in the middle of rooting for all this craziness. Your Dodgers were in the middle of rooting for all that craziness. They did lock it up yesterday for in terms of the division. But have you seen a crazy final week of baseball like this in quite some time?
Well, the last two or three weeks have been crazy. You know, I became a Cleveland Guardians fan when Stephen Vogt became their manager. And just watching their surge has been incredible. You know, obviously – a big game today. What, 6 runs in the first inning already
between him and Boach.
Yeah, and you know, it's this time of the year, you know, is probably my favorite time, right? I love March. I love March Madness and all that. But right, you got NFL. You're right in the middle of college football, and you got the baseball playoffs. But gosh, yeah, Cleveland Guardians are definitely on my mind. I know your Red Sox, the Yankees are right there as well. I got a nice three leg parlay. I need the Blue Jays to win the stinking division.
Take care of it.
Right? Because I got the Phillies on this parlay. I got the Phillies winning their division. Check. Got the Brewers winning their division. Check. $5 to win 158, but the Blue Jays got to hold on.
Man. But the Blue Jays have the tie. They have the tiebreaker, over the Yankees. Yeah. So they just need to finish the same record with it. MLB baseball doing no favors to you, but giving the Yankees the cupcake of all cupcake schedules down the stretch. It was something
White
like
Sox.
White Sox. They went Orioles, White Sox, Orioles to close the year, Paul. Although I don't know if people could say the Orioles were going to be that horrible, but anyways, I digress. But in terms of this stretch, are you learning about teams that could win? Cause I feel like this is as open of a World Series potential. I don't feel... There's not a bet my life on a team out there to me where I'm like, I feel as confident as I can in terms of somebody winning a World Series this year. As opposed to last year when I was like, Dodgers Yankees feels like the clash.
Right?
The we're clashing there. But
and was it yesterday on your show you presented the odds, right?
Yeah.
And what, Phillies are number one?
We were at number – that was Tuesday. World Series odds. Phillies were the number one team at plus 450.
Makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Even without Wheeler. Even without Wheeler.
I know, that's a bad loss. Yeah, that's a huge loss for the Phillies. Right, and we've seen this, Phil, in playoffs because it's a direct result of the regular season. Starters are only going 5 or 6 innings. So you've got to have guys coming in, blowing 90, 98, 99 mile an hour cheese, right, to close out games. Now these relievers are having to go 4 innings. So who has the best bullpen in Major League Baseball, right? Yeah, you kind of start having to look at the bullpens. And I tell you what, the Dodgers don't. Phillies are okay. We definitely know that, right? I mean, how you feel about your Red Sox bullpen? You guys looking okay? Obviously, Chapman's amazing.
If Greg Weissert didn't exist, I'd feel great. I feel great. But if Greg Weissert wasn't on my team, I think I'd feel solid. Whitlock is phenomenal. Chapman's been the best closer in baseball. I'm just proclaiming that now. I think Chapman has been the best closer in baseball from this year, especially with his surge down. Do you believe that story?
I know. You told me that. I think you're the one that
that someone finally told him for spring training, hey, someone actually told him to locate the fastball.
He'd never pitched like that before.
Nobody ever told him to locate
it as hard as
fastball.
I can.
Yeah, he was just throwing it as hard as he – I did see an interview with the Talking Yankee guys. I mean, Aaron Boone came on. He's like, yeah, no, that's a load. Because he
has to be.
They had Chapman for a couple of years.
That has to be.
Anyways.
And the Yankees are up 2-0.
Stanton home run, not a Judge home run. And speaking of Judge, this is the other hot topic that has been just prevalent through baseball. We even had what feels like we're having like a Maguire versus kind of Sosa-esque kind of stretch of the season here where what it was a couple nights ago when Judge goes two homers to go 50 and 51, and then Cal Raleigh goes 59 and 60, same night, just an hour later. And now everybody is getting involved in the conversation between Judge and Cal Raleigh for MVP. I feel like I've been in the minority here at this office because a lot of people like Cal Raleigh and a lot of people want to pick Cal Raleigh as the MVP getter. And we obviously are three games remaining in this season. I've vehemently defended Aaron Judge. I have laid out my case. Paul, I don't know if I clearly laid out my evident case to you, but I don't know if I have to because I think I know what side you're on. Where are you sit on this MVP race in terms of Aaron Judge versus Cal Raleigh?
Historically, look at that year that Raleigh has had.
Mm-hmm.
60 homers. Right? The amount of power that Raleigh has provided for the Mariners. That's one of the things about the Mariners, right? Yeah, they've had the pitching the last few years. They haven't gotten over the hump because of their offense. And boom, here's a catcher hitting 60 bombs and a switch hitter at that. Look at the batting average. What are we sitting at?
247, according to Baseball Reference right now.
247 batting average for Raleigh. Again, a pretty demanding position at catcher. But my gosh, is there a more feared hitter in all of baseball than Aaron Judge? Look at these splits again, right? You look at the batting average, on base, slugging percentage. Dude's hitting 330. After his rookie year and, you know, the year he hit, 284 after that, and 278, 272, 257, right? Now the guy's hitting 330, so he's obviously made a huge amount of adjustments. 457 on-base percentage, 683 slug, 134 runs, 51 homers, 109 RBIs. It's actually a little bit light from last year. Last year he had 144. But what an absolute monster season, right? Historically, one could argue Cal Raleigh, one of the greatest seasons of all time because of his position. The 60 homers, that's a magical number. 50 homers is a magical number, but 60.
Only seven guys have done 60 homers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can name them all, but can you get to most of them?
I mean, Bonds, McGuire, Sosa.
Judge. Yeah.
There's seven total?
I think there's seven.
For 60.
Only four of them did win MVP when they hit 60 plus.
Oh, Roger Maris.
Roger Maris, Judge, Sosa in 98, and Bonds. So okay. McGuire for sure. And I'm losing track of the others. But probably all around that steroid era kind of situation in terms of it. May I present you with some historical facts here?
Yes, please.
For MVP. Your lowest batting average for a guy who was a somewhat regular hitter was Shohei Ohtani in 2021 at .257 batting. But to be fair, he was also pitching, and I think people equated that to it. Your lowest pure hitter batting average, 1944 Martin Marion at .261 with six homers and 63 RBIs, Paul, which was, I think, during the middle of World War II.
So what year is that?
1944. I think a lot of good baseball players were out there fighting the good fight, Paul. The next closest average to, I would say, a more somewhat regular year, 1961, Roger Maris, .269, the lowest batting average for an MVP, purely positional player in terms of it. The lowest batting average for a catcher to win MVP, Johnny Bench, in 1972, .270. He went 40 homers, 125 RBIs. So there's your historical look at it. Cal Raleigh would be by far the lowest batting average MVP winner if he does win the MVP out of anybody out there. Historically, people who have hit 60 home runs, only four of them have gained MVP. There's seven that are out there. There's three that did get snubbed for other statistical advantages of it. And then my last argument to Aaron Judge for the people out there is, and I said this off air to you, is that Aaron Judge is batting with one of the largest batting boxes, strike zones we have ever seen, and he covers it batting .330. He also has the most walks in the league at 123. You talk about the feared hitter he is.
35 intentional, I believe.
36 intentional. 36, okay. Paul, that's the most ever in American League history. which ironically is funny enough. Did you see the stat today that Barry Bonds had 36 by May 31st of his 2004 season?
And that was back when they had to literally throw four pitches instead of just pointing.
But he has the most intentional walks in American League history this season because of the fear nature of it. And yet he still bats 330, covering the biggest strike zone in the league. I don't think this is remotely an argument. I understand the story of Cal Raleigh. Unprecedented doesn't mean the best. And to me, Aaron Judge, by far, even take the Bulldog bias out of it, by far, is the greatest player we've seen in this era of baseball, and he deserves to win the MVP this year. I will take no other argument to it.
Well, okay, so MVP and Babe Ruth was the other one. What's wrong with this? It's hitting 60. What? How surprised? What level of surprisedness, if that's even a word, if they announced the MVP and it was Cal Raleigh? What, like, would it blow you away?
I wouldn't say I'd be surprised. I'd be frustrated. I'd be frustrated with that is where baseball is valued more in terms of it is the home runs, the big moments, the big opportunities for it. But Cal Raleigh, as great as he's been. And here's one tick to the Cal Raleigh favor of it. And maybe there's something we need to figure out with WAR in terms of the catcher position and the amount of outs he has to account for in it. And maybe catchers get a lot more recognition for it. Zero pass balls this year for Cal Raleigh.
Okay.
I don't know how many catchers have a zero of pass balls, but that is pretty remarkable.
That is remarkable.
For how many times he's played catcher this year, which is 120 games and counting still. So I would give the credit there because that is a pretty remarkable stat if you want to go in the Cal Raleigh favor. Of
how many errors?
How many
That's
errors?
That's not a huge one to me. I mean,
four errors.
Okay. Probably throwing errors, maybe. One, drop,
he's a 996 something. Field percentage. Judge is a 995.
How many games at DH?
36.
Okay.
Judge has had like 50, I think. Hold on.
Yeah, if I'm Cal Raleigh and I have a season like this, right, and then you cut Aaron Judge over there, I'd be like, oh, gosh.
That's how Bobby Witt was last year. Bobby Witt had one of the all-time great shortstop seasons of all time.
He didn't hit 60, though.
Yeah.
He didn't hit 60 like Cal Raleigh. Here's the other thing. I don't know if you want to move on from this, but, gosh, if you would have said Cal Raleigh, though, deserves the MVP over Aaron Judge in Aaron Judge territory here in Fresno, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, it would be borderline blasphemy.
I got people in the office here who are doing it, Paul.
You're not naming names, though, are you?
I certainly won't. They start with an E.
Not even the right rhyming?
They start with an E and they start with an N. Guys over the glass, Jorge, Sergio, any other things to add to this discussion? I'm genuinely curious. I'm polling like everybody on this whole thing. Judge versus Raleigh. It's as, I think, feverish of a topic we've seen in baseball. Jorge, I know we were touching on it yesterday. Do you have any more thoughts on the Judge versus Raleigh MVP race?
I feel like even though Raleigh might not have the numbers, I think he still did something for baseball and his team. And that counts in the eyes of, you know, the people that are watching the sport. So, therefore, if he does win it and he does come up on top of Judge, I don't see it as a bad, you know, as a bad.
You're indifferent to the winner, but you also are recognizing just the pure unprecedented nature of the win for Cal Raleigh.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, it wouldn't be a travesty, right, if Cal Raleigh won it in your eyes.
No,
like,
not at all.
Oh, man, Aaron Judge was robbed. Nothing like that.
No, he wasn't. Yeah.
I can see that.
Sergio, what do you got?
I would not be totally upset either way if either of them won it. I do think Judge is the MVP, though. It's the most valuable player, both, you know, on both sides of the ball. I understand that Cal Raleigh did win a Platinum Glove last year, but that was last year. It's not this year. I think Judge is the MVP, but I would not be upset if Cal Raleigh won it as well because he's just had such an unprecedented season, and he's been just great overall too.
It's funny we discussed the Cal Raleigh unprecedented nature of what his season has been, but let's talk about the unprecedented nature of just what Aaron Judge has been his entire career up to this moment. And I want to just recognize that as an opportunity as well.
Are you talking about the 450 homer seasons?
And counting.
In his career and counting?
Yeah.
Just remarkable. You know, he's had some injuries, and you look at a couple 27 home run seasons. I was studying his stats last night, but, right, you could do a little what if with him, with how many homers would he have ended up with if he wasn't injured? But gosh, those, some of these seasons are absolute monstrous.
Just people give me the unprecedented argument real quick on the Raleigh thing, and I just point to the unprecedented Aaron Judge nature of it, because as for the lack of knowledge I know, he's doing Bond stuff without steroids. I mean, to my knowledge, you know what I mean? And that is something that I don't know if we were ever thinking we were going to see. And here we are in 2025 talking about a guy who is just absolutely out of this world. And I can't believe I saw him hit with a metal bat in 2012 when I was coming off of a hangover after a Fresno State basketball game or something like that. All right. We got to take a break. Great argument. We will know the winner sometime in the near future, but can't wait to discuss it when we do know who is winning that MVP. Let's take a break. We wrap up the show next here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I think that's one of my karaoke songs, one of my go-tos in terms of it. Anyways, just got like a minute or two left of this show. Excited to talk about the Daily Spread brought to you by Chichansky Gold Resort and Casino. Daily Spread, if you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck at Chichansky Gold Resort and Casino. Doing a little, what are you watching this weekend? In terms of it, I'll start. I'm going to start with some college football this weekend in a game I'm going to be locking in on. Oregon and Penn State. That's a Penn State 3.5-point favorite. That's at 4:30 on Saturday. That's tomorrow. Since we don't have any dogs to watch, I'll be locking in on some college football over the weekend. I'm also locking in on some Ryder Cup. Come on, USA. We need some boosts here in terms of it. Jorge, what are you watching this weekend?
I'm going to the Giants game.
Yeah, there you go.
Going to see them play one last Saturday.
One last time. There you go. That's a song. Who's pitching tomorrow? You got Freeland versus Verlander. Yeah, it might be Justin Verlander's last start.
It might be.
Of his career?
Should be.
Giants are a -239 favorite.
Right, Sergio? Should be.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Okay.
Sergio, what are you watching this weekend?
Watching the Giants last series of the season, you know, get some more Giants baseball in. Going to watch Cal Poly hopefully beat Sacramento State. They have actually a good chance of beating Sac State ever since their head coach left, so hopefully that can come out with a win. And then there's another college football game that I had my eye on. LSU Ole Miss, I'm excited for that one too.
Paul, you're on the road this weekend?
I'm on the road visiting the in-laws in Sacramento. We're a sports-minded family, so yeah. I might be able to catch something. But, yeah, it's going to be a restful, fun weekend.
There you go. Daily Spread brought to you by Chichansky Gold Resort and Casino. Be sure to stop by today. All right, end of the show. That's it, folks. We'll see you on Monday. But stay tuned, 7 o'clock tonight. Paul, we'll see you over there. Guys, appreciate it as always. Friday Night Lights coming at 7 from La Monica. Clovis North versus Frontier coming up in a little bit.